Different people have come into our lives, Pastor Panda, and of course, Secret Agent Blue. We don't know what he's been up to, but I'm sure it's been no good, and I'm sure he's confused and has a headache at the end of it. So let's see where he's up to. Ladies and gentlemen, Agent Blue.
Good morning, boys and girls. Secret Agent Blue. How's your week been? Mine has been an interesting week. You see, my boss, C, came and saw me the other day. Normally, she doesn't come and see me when she gives me a job. Normally, she sends me a secret code that takes me hours to unscrabble, and then I get to go and do the job. This week, she came and saw me and told me that on this job, I had to count the cost. That's right, boys and girls. I had to count the cost. She said this week she was sending me out against four of Chaos's meanest, toughest, naughtiest, dirtiest agents. I said, no worries, see, I've got this. She said, no, Agent Blue, this is a tough job. These are tough agents. You have to count the cost. Hold on a sec, boys and girls. My new Butte phone that C has given me is ringing. How's that, boys and girls? It's a pretty cool phone. Yes, C. Yes, Agent Blue here. Yes, I'm at my desk. Well, why wouldn't I be at my desk? I'm here working out, counting the cost. Sorry, C? Yes, I'm working on the budget. You know, I'm counting the cost. I'm working out how much this agent business is going to cost against those four really nasty, tough agents. Do I need four bullets or eight? No? It's not about the budget. Well, what do you mean, count the cost? Okay, thank you, C. I'll take that under advisement. Well, boys and girls, I don't have to keep doing the budget anymore. That's good. Wasn't very good with numbers. So count the cost. I've got to look into that a little bit more. Find out what C really means. Count the cost. Apparently, boys and girls, Jesus said the same thing to his disciples. He said, if you're going to follow me, you've got to count the cost. I wonder what that means, boys and girls. Maybe you could help Secret Agent Blue out and give me some answers. Anyway, I'm going to go do some recon on count the cost before I go and meet these four nasty, dirty, no good little chaos agents. And by the way, boys and girls, I'm not afraid. I'll be loving it. All right, boys and girls, be nice to one another. Be good to one another. Give your mum a hug. Give your dad a big hug, because I believe it's his one special day of the year coming up soon. Make sure you've got him chockies, socks, whatever else he needs. Fishing gear. Look after him, boys and girls. All right. Secret Agent Blue, out.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's pray. We'll get into God's word and see what he has to say to us this morning. All right. Well, Father God, we thank you for the opportunity of opening your word. What an amazing word it is for us. Today, not so easy, full of challenges. And Lord, if we've been singing those songs that the team have played for us, then the challenge is already reverberating within our spirit and challenging our very soul. I ask, Lord God, that the power of your Holy Spirit would be in and through the words that we share, and that you would speak to us loudly and clearly. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. One of the good things about the COVID time is I've been doing lots of times with different pastors all over the state and all over Australia and into New Zealand through the Zoom meetings, those blessed Zoom meetings. And some of the guys that I get to share with, they talk about their sermon series and that sort of stuff. The different guys are sharing from different parts. One guy is doing a study on the book of Haggai. Another guy is doing a study out of the Gospels. And I'm thinking, oh, man, that's really cool. And they said, well, what do you got? And I said, oh, I've got discipleship. hitting discipleship. I sort of thought, you know, Book of Haggai might be a nice easier one, you know, that might be good. And I'm saying often when I go, you know, because you try and hear God on this, you want to go, okay, what do you want me to bring forward to the church, Lord? And when the Lord showed me it was a discipleship series, that's hard stuff, Lord. It's a big challenge for us today, especially in this time. So let's continue on in this area of discipleship, and we're going to be looking at the book of Luke. As I shared last week, we're going to stay in the book of Luke over the next month or so. So this is from Luke chapter 9. Then he said to them all, verse 23, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to be a man if he gains the whole world and he himself is destroyed or lost? And also again from another version from the Message. Then he told them what they could expect for themselves. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat anymore. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself and your true self. What good would it do to get everything you want and lose you, the real you? Some challenging words, as I said, and you can hear why I'm praying to the Lord. Where are we going with this? This same passage is also recorded in Matthew 16 and Mark chapter 8. It follows on from Peter's confession, where Brendan spent a whole service on that section from Matthew 16. Thank you, Brendan, for covering that so well a couple of weeks ago. It also flows on to Jesus' prediction of his own imminent suffering. And in chapter 9 is Jesus' warning to his own disciples about the road ahead if they want to walk with him. It ends at a cross. In fact, if anyone wishes to be his disciple, they must take up the cross every day and follow him. The cross for Jesus is his singular purpose. It is the event towards which the gospel is ultimately building. From chapter 9 forward, the cross is continually in view, and the journey toward it seems persistently in the background. What Luke's gospel clarifies is that the journey of the cross is a journey of discipleship. Phil Mayo, in his book called Joining Jesus on the Way, calls the end of chapter 9 the start of the journey narrative, because from here on, Jesus has his face set to the cross. He knows who he is, he knows where he is going, and Jesus calls us to do the same and to be the same. For those of you who have your Bibles open, you'll see that around this, there was also a little event called the Transfiguration. So at the end of chapter 9, Jesus knows who he is. He's had his Father not only say it into his life, but also into his disciples, that he is his chosen son. So Jesus is on his way. But let's not pretend that this is easy, for it's not easy. It is, I believe, a massive life-changing challenge, made even more difficult because we're all at different stages in our life. We're all at a different place on our journey. While the journey for Jesus is quite tangible, he can see the cross, he's headed towards Jerusalem. For the disciples, the cross is a metaphor. For Jesus, the cross represents self-denial and the loss of one's life, which are really one and the same thing. All other concerns that the cares of this world fade into the background as we commit to God's kingdom values. Remember, Jesus said, "For what profits it for a man if he gains the whole world and is himself lost or destroyed?" On Thursday, I was able to do a training for how to raise up young leaders, or raise up leaders. Young leaders was a part of it. It had some very great things that I enjoyed. Apparently, if you enjoy things, that's because you usually agree with them, which I think is fairly true, isn't it? Often, I get people come up to me and say, "That was a great sermon." Usually the words, "I hated it so much, it's challenged me too badly," don't follow. Does that make sense? Often we'll say it's a good sermon. Yeah, I like that. That was good. That was comfortable. Often it's not a good sermon if I'm really challenged, or you've upset me, you've hurt me. Where do I go with this? You know what I mean? We like to agree when it fits. Apparently, raising up young leaders is a challenge for those in my age group. The millennials, the Gen Ys, or the iGens. Wonder why they got called iGens. Anyone know? Yeah. Samsung, very good, very good. So iGen, it's just way too difficult. They do not want to follow a hero leadership model. They're not excited about Jonathan Thurston having a kick to win the grand final against the Broncos. The kick goes and starts bending and bending, and then it hits the posts and falls out. He misses. It's a draw. They go to extra point, golden point in a grand final. This is the whole culmination of the whole season. 5 minutes later, with the help of Ben Hunt, Jonathan Thurston has the opportunity to slot a field goal. He finally wins the game. The Cowboys finally win a grand final. He's the hero. Everyone, little boys all over the place in Townsville, are kicking field goals for the next month and a half. We like that sort of leadership. We like that. I like that. I can go with that. It's like the guy that's leading the battlefront, and he goes, let's go take this. We get ready and we go forward. There's those visionary leaders that we get excited about and we lead forward. According to this training on Thursday, that doesn't cut it with the younger generation. So how does these words that Jesus says, if anyone desires to come after me, let himself deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world but loses himself or is lost? So if that doesn't hit into our younger generation, what do we do? What do we do? How do we do that? How do we grab hold of that? Or do we just simply rip that out of the Bible because we don't need that section? That's just irrelevant. That's not a good part. We don't like that section of the Bible. Is that the way we deal with it? No. Now, before you make a comment on the Facebook page for those online, or you're ready to send me an email about ripping pages out of my Bible, then let me share this. We all need to come to a point of repentance, because it's not about a generation. It's about us all. We have all played our part for us to be at a point and a situation and time. And it starts right here. It starts right here with me. It's not another generation's fault. I can't do a generation versus the other generation, because guess what? My generation has impacted the generations that follow. And the generation before me impacted me. We're all, I know you hate this line, we're all in this together. We're all in it. So say these things with me. It starts with me. I will not play the blame game. I will repent. I will bow my knee. And I will say, here I am, Lord, use me. I will deny myself and take up my cross daily, and I will follow you. That's a personal thing for each and every one of us. It starts here. It starts with me. It's no good blaming this, that, or anything else. Luke understands this commitment because out of all the synoptic gospels, he's the only one who uses the word daily, to take up the cross daily. As I said last week, a persistent walk of endurance. Eugene Peterson said discipleship is a long obedience in the same direction. A long obedience in the same direction. Talking about a persistent walk, has anyone heard of a guy called Arthur Blessett? Have you heard of Arthur Blessett? Yes. For those of you who haven't heard of Arthur Blessett, let me tell you about Arthur Blessett. I didn't realise Arthur Blessett was still alive. I'd heard of him as a younger man. I hadn't heard of him. Here is a quote from his web page. He says this. Arthur Blessett is, by the way, a guy who's been walking around the world for the last 53 years carrying a cross. Let me read this to you. The longest walk. This is my 53rd year of carrying the cross around the world in every nation. I started in 1968 and now it's 2020. The Guinness World Book of Records has the longest walk and pilgrimage, which is 43,326 miles for the younger generation. Now, let me put it in kilometres. 69,726 kilometres. That's over 324 countries, island groups and territories. For those of you who have your smartwatches and you're worried about how many steps you're doing, he has taken 86 million steps as he carries a cross around. Some scientists has worked out that over the time of him carrying this cross, it's come out to 19 billion pounds of total weight that he has carried. He shares Jesus and the cross and the gospel message wherever he goes. He is still walking in 2020, and he says, "We are just pilgrims, donkeys, lifting up the cross and Jesus and saying, 'God bless you,' to a world that is hurting." He still is carrying this cross. If he's been doing it for 53 years, how old is he? And he's still carrying a cross. Now, I went through and told Cynthia about that because we'd had a little bit to do with Arthur Blessett when he was in Australia. And she couldn't believe that he was still doing it. And that he was still alive carrying this cross. Now, some of you may have heard of another gentleman. There's an Australian guy that's doing the same thing. Has anyone heard of this guy? Okay, let me tell you about him. In Australia, in September 2019, on the Sunshine Coast and the Gold Coast, a guy called Kevin Mad Dog Mumford. You've heard of him? There's a couple who've heard of him now. He carries an 11-foot cross. Now, Kevin Mad Dog Mumford is not actually an Australian. For you who are sitting there thinking, what crazy guys are out there carrying a cross, a real cross, an 11-foot cross. He's actually a Kiwi. Born and bred in New Zealand. Through his younger days, was in and out of 7 institutions. And then came to Australia. On his time in Australia, he was in a bikie group, a mongrel mob or something like that. And in and through that, his older brother got saved. And because his older brother got saved, and he knew his older brother was a worse character than he was, and his brother's change was dramatic, he said, "I'll try this God stuff out too." So some 38 years ago, in fact, 38 years and 8 months ago, he got saved. And he started to go around with this cross. Now, I know Mad Dog Mumford from working in RI into Mansfield High School. Yes, boys and girls, once upon a time we had RI in high schools. Before chaplaincy ever existed, we had RI. Now, could you imagine in 2020 an ex-biker who still looks like a biker has the tattoo of the Bible on the forehead opened with a Bible reading, and he's got the chains and everything that goes on with it, allowed into our schools with a criminal record like he has. So maybe carrying a cross is how he gets to talk to people. Now, some of you might be sitting there, why would you do that? What? Well, if I go back to Arthur Blessett, on one of his pages is a testimony page. And there was a person who said they were on their way to committing suicide when they drove past this crazy bloke carrying a cross. It reminded them about Jesus, and so he went and checked it out, and instead of committing suicide, became a Christian. So if all that Arthur Blessett has done, taking those, how many steps? 86 million steps in over 324 countries. If all he ever achieved is that one person not committing suicide, I think he's been a fairly faithful servant just in that one situation. Mad Dog Mumford is currently at Lake Mundora, just outside Mount Isa. Winter is probably a good time to be in Mount Isa carrying a cross. But so he's still doing it. For Jesus, the cross is the reason he was born into this world. It represents the Father's will for him. His oneness with the Father, indeed his love for the Father, demands that he fulfill his purpose. He lived his life with no attachments. The Son of Man had no place to lay his head. His family were those who heard the word of the Lord and obeyed it. And he lived in total dependence and on the obedience to God. He expects no less of us, his followers. At the end of the book of Luke, we read Jesus' response to 3 of the disciples, or 3 would-be disciples. Here it is, reading from verse 57 in chapter 9. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." And another man came and said, "Follow me, I will follow you." And he replied, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus' response to these 3 would-be followers or disciples is pretty intense, pretty harsh. Maybe we're going back to ripping that page of the Bible out again, are we? It's a too hard version. For us to take up the cross daily is to devote oneself to God's kingdom purpose. Kingdom purpose with no regard to one's own comfort or worldly existence. To take up our cross daily means a devotion to his will and his purpose for our life. It is no easy thing when for many of us we are blindly being killed by the drowning or killed by drowning in our own culture as it invades our life. Just like the poor frog who swims happily in water that is slowly coming to the boil, he dies. He dies happily, but he still dies. And I wonder how much of our culture impacts us and frames the way we respond to this word that Jesus has for us. The self-determination of the Eden is therefore replaced with the self-denial of God's kingdom. This is how we save our lives, by living them with a purpose for the one who gave them to us. The self-determination means certain death and certain denial, and the area of self-denial means life. Jesus says this in John chapter 10, "The thief comes only to steal, to kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." Reading from the Message, it says, "A thief is only there to steal, kill and destroy. I come so that you can have the real and eternal life, more and better life than you've ever dreamed of." So letting go and letting God guide our lives is the challenge that stands before us in the area of discipleship. The one thing that grates against our human nature is letting go and letting God. In my connection with the Movement Day Australia, I came across this incredible, passionate people. And they are. They're incredible, passionate people. How they do what they do for their cities is mind-blowing. It challenges me. One of the guys I've come across is a guy from Toowoomba, a guy called Ian Shelton, who once upon a time started the whole pastors' network up in Toowoomba. If you've ever heard of how powerful that network is, it's in a rebuilding stage at the moment, but Ian Shelton actually heads up Movement Day in Australia and is currently on a tour up the coast. I've got a little note here for those of you who like your dad jokes. Ian Shelton is based in Toowoomba. But why you'd need two Woombas, I don't know. Okay. Here on the coast, we have a guy called James Condon. I don't know if you've heard of James Condon. He's a retired grand boss of the Salvation Army, and he's in retirement. Although, when you sit and chat with him, he is busier in retirement than I am currently right now. Some of you may not believe that, but he's incredibly busy. He's on so many boards, and he's inspirational. I get to listen to them share their heart. I also get to listen to another guy who I want to read a quote from. His name's Alan Scott. He's based out of Los Angeles, and he started up a church movement that's impacted the culture within Los Angeles, and it's kicking some amazing goals. You can look him up online as well. He says this: "Our cities need solutions. Every sphere of culture is crying out for change and longing for life. It's looking for people who see things differently, people who carry kingdom culture and create shifts in society as they operate in godly wisdom." Let me read that again because it's fairly intense. I'll put it on the Facebook page. "Our cities need solutions. Every sphere of culture is crying out for change and longing for life. It's looking for people who see things differently, people who carry kingdom culture and create shifts in society as they operate in godly wisdom." From today, we have a challenge that stands before us. We can deny ourselves, we can take up the cross, and we can follow Jesus. How we do this? Well, each of us, as I said, is on our own walk of obedience in the same direction. However, I want to encourage each and every one of us on this walk. So as I've said, starting tomorrow night, Monday night, we're going to do this devotional at 8 p.m. and I'm trying to encourage you each and every day to pick up your cross and to follow Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, this is a tough word. To deny ourselves. When everything in our culture screams out, just do it. Enjoy. Don't worry about it. Pay for it later. To deny ourselves is a challenge. To daily pick up the cross. Oh Lord God, how do I do that? Surely the Arthur Blessett and Mad Dog Mumford are doing the carrying the literal cross. How do I carry your cross for my life? Father, how do I follow you? I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit you would open my eyes, my soul, my heart to following you more this afternoon than I did this morning, more tomorrow than I did today, more the rest of this week than I did last week, step by step, day by day. May I follow you, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen.